Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. Buenas, if you will. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we thank you because you are a loving God. You are a great God. This morning, we give ourselves to you that you will speak to us, you will minister to us. Father, help me as I open your word, that your Holy Spirit will speak and will listen to you. And help us even to obey, because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My message this morning is united to reform the world. How can we be united as Christians so that we can reform the world? But maybe we need to understand, what are we supposed to reform from? For example, the church is going through a very difficult time. Across our neighbors here, a lot of churches are being closed in Rwanda because maybe they are not following the building regulations. They have been worshiping either in a tent, but the government is saying that has to be changed. And that affects not only Christians, but even Muslims. If we come to our city, we are also facing challenges as a church. Either 2 weeks ago, there's a famous preacher here in Goma. He's called Julian Mulindwa. You may not know him if you are a foreigner, but he's very famous. He preaches every day. But his sermons are very fiery. He does not spare anybody. If you are a missionary, he will attack you. If you are from another church, he will attack you. So he does not spare anybody. And the government has put him into prison because he speaks his mind. Now, we might laugh about this, but my question, if the government can touch his church, are we safe as Sebeka? Are we safe as other churches? Because the policemen who took him, next time if you do something, even if you're a pastor, they say, we have already done it with Julia Mulindwa. Who are you? Are we together, my brothers and sisters? So that's the challenge that we face. Another area that we need to maybe reform, are we concerned about other Christians, even in this church? When you hear somebody is going through a difficult time, what do you say? What do you do? Do you pray for them? Or we pray for ourselves? For example, we have Christians in this country, not far from here, who are going through a very difficult time. If you're a Christian in Bunia, Butembo, and other places where there is war, you have to be concerned. Now, we may say there is nobody we know there, but a few months ago, Pastor James was here from Bunia. He spoke to us. But he's in the middle of those situations. Now, if you are an international, you might say, oh, these are only Congolese. One of our members here, we used to come here. He's working there. He works with the MONUSCO. But he's in the middle of this chaos in Bunia. Are we concerned? Let me also bring it even back here in our congregation. A few months ago, we had our brothers and sisters from Cameroon. They came here to thank God for God answering their prayers, and they stood here. They wanted us to join them. We did not do that. Unfortunately, we had been away, so we didn't know what was going on. But when we realized, they invited us and said, can you stand with us to thank God for what is happening in Cameroon? Are we concerned? Are we concerned about somebody you're sitting next to? For example, today when the service is finished, I know we'll greet each other outside there. But do you get time to know the person who is next to you? Some of us internationals will be here. Nobody will ever even greet us except we do the normal thing. But maybe even us internationals, we may not be concerned about our brothers and sisters who are here. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. You know, in the Lord's Supper, Jesus taught us how to pray. But even in John chapter 17, he also teaches us how we should pray. In this chapter, Jesus prays specifically for his disciples, for the apostles, and even for you and me today, that we may be united. We may be concerned about other people. So as we think about us being united to reform the world, you see, the world will never be reformed unless they see the church reformed. And so he says in verse 9 of chapter 17, this is what the Bible says. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know certainly that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Verse 9, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. What Jesus is saying is that the people that he has, or the believers that he has, they belong to God. And it is God who has given them to him. And so he has a responsibility, because he was given from God, to pray for those that God has given him. And so he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for the apostles, and he continues to pray for us. He's being faithful to his Father. He's being faithful to God. He values these disciples, these apostles. He values us. We are so important before God that God himself can be praying for us even today. And that's how important we are. That's how important all of us are. And so, he says, those that you have given to us. Now, if you know Swahili, say, wangu, mpendwa wangu, sivo? Tunasema hivyo Kiswahili. My loved ones, they belong to me. Wangu means mine. And when somebody belongs to you, they are very important. It could be your children, could be your spouse, could be your relative. When they belong to you, they mean a lot to you. For example, we have 2 children. When we live here, we pray for them every day because they are very important to us. Now, we know that God is taking care of them, but we remind God every day, can you protect our children? Can you be with them? And so we pray for one another. Can you protect them? And that's what Jesus prays later on. So if we belong to Gomaville, do we pray for each other that God will protect us? That God will protect your neighbor? Maybe it's not the neighbor that you like. Because even Jesus, later on, he also even prays for his enemies. Because when you love God, you don't choose who you should pray for. You don't choose who you should love. Because God loved us first. And therefore, he wants us to love others. So the Bible says that because we belong to God, we need to be concerned about other people. Because we belong to God, we need to give people the message. Because Jesus says that I've given them the words that you gave me. What is the message of Jesus? If somebody does not know Jesus, they need to be saved. And if somebody knows Jesus, they need to practice what they read, what they hear from the message of God. So that's the message. A message to encourage other believers. A message to comfort. A message to give people hope. For the years we have lived in Congo, we tell Congolese, one day this country is going to be free. But some say, yes, but we have been praying for many years. Yes, but one day there's going to be peace. And the whole world will be coming to Congo. That is the hope that we need to provide. Whether we'll see that peace or not, but one day God is going to answer our prayers. My prayer that I pray, I may see the peace, or I may not see the peace. Why do I have hope? In the country that I was born in Kenya, we have gone through election, and it took for a long time. And because Christians have been praying, because Kenyans have been praying, 2 weeks ago, the opposition leader and the president met, and they shook hands in front of the world to say, we have put aside our differences. We want to see Kenya go forward. For an ordinary person, they say, this is politics. But for a Christian, that's God working. And that's the work, the God, when I think of Congo, that's the same God I believe in. That one day, this country will have peace. And everybody from all the world will come to this nation. Why? Congo is in the center of Africa. It's the heart of Africa. And if there is a reason why we suffer a lot, the enemy knows what Congo can do. Even despite of what is going on now, a lot of things come from Congo. Like when you have a phone, there's material that has come from Congo that makes your phone not to be hot. But the message that will be coming from Congo is the message of God. So what Jesus is saying, that the message that God has given us, that's the message that we need to give the world. This message is for our family. This message is for our church. This message is for our country. As a Christian, despite of all the negatives that are happening, do we give people hope? Do we show them love? Then secondly, Jesus prays that the Christians may be one. He talks about that in verses 10 onwards, that he wants all of us to be one in Christ. And so he says in verse 10, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I'll remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. So what Jesus is saying is this, because we are one in Christ. And our leader this morning, our brother Gerishon, has reminded us. I don't know if you listen. He said, I pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. And that's one of the things that people will tell, the difference, that we are one in Christ. I've been a Christian for a long time, and it doesn't matter where I go. When I go to Canada, when I come here, when I go to Kenya, wherever I go, whenever I meet a Christian, he's my brother or my sister. It's like I've known them for a long time. That does not happen even with my own relatives. But there is something that brings us together. And that is the love of Jesus. Do we show oneness? As members of the English church in Sebeka, do we show oneness? And we can show oneness in many ways. When people are suffering in our church, do we go around them to encourage them? Sometimes we always think in terms of finances, money. That's important. But sometimes people just need somebody to encourage them. And you can do that by praying for them. You can send them even a verse if you have a SMS that I read this verse. Let it encourage you today. Can they see love, that we love one another? Despite of us coming from different countries, we are one in Christ. That's what have put us together here. That's the prayer that Jesus is praying for us. He's praying that God will keep his saints. And also he's praying that God will protect the Christians. God will protect leaders in churches, our leaders. You know, if the enemy wants to destroy our oneness, he will attack pastors, church leaders. Because when the shepherd has been destroyed, it's very easy to destroy the sheep. When a pastor has been affected, it's very easy for the church to suffer. For example, I mentioned Pastor Julia Mulindwa. I don't know what his members are going through at this particular time. What happens when a leader is affected, a Christian leader? We may disagree with many things that our brother taught, but he had followers, people that believed what he was saying is true. Are we concerned about those people? And hopefully we pray that whatever has happened in that church, they will learn the truth. That maybe even the followers in that church will hear the message of Jesus Christ. And they'll be different. And so God, in the person of Jesus Christ, is saying, protect them, Father. Protect them from what? From pride, from the world, from the attacks of the evil one, so that they can continue the message. So we must pray for the protection of our leaders. We must pray for the protection of our pastors. We have three pastors here. I hope, and my prayer is that you pray for them. Sometimes we don't pray for them. We think about our own needs so that God will protect them. Then thirdly, in verses 17 onwards, Jesus prays for the believers. Now, he prayed for the disciples, the apostles, and he's praying for us. But he's also praying for those who believe later on. As Christians, do we pray for new believers? Those people who have been saved 1 day, 1 week, 1 month. And maybe we don't, because we are not leading people to Jesus Christ. Are we sending the message? When somebody gets saved, and the Bible says that when a believer, even one, that in heaven they rejoice, the angels rejoice. Do we rejoice when one believer accepts Jesus Christ? So, because if we don't pray for their protection, sometimes because they are curious, they're so excited about their faith, they end up going into a wrong church. They end up going to a wrong church that teaches different doctrines that are not biblical. And then they get confused. Can we pray for their protection? Because we belong to the kingdom of God, we need to be concerned of one another. We need to be concerned of fellow believers. And that means sometime when they fall, we restore them. Just like the Apostle Peter, many times he fell. Many times he even denied Jesus. But you know what? Jesus restored him. How do we take care of those who have fallen in sin? Do we condemn them? Do we accuse them? Or do we find ways of restoring them? We don't approve what they have done, but what do we do to restore them in their faith? See, as Christians, when you are doing very well as a Christian, it's very easy to condemn somebody. It's very easy to look down on somebody. But all of us, It's through grace that we are where we are. It's God who has helped us. If we are doing well as Christians, it's God's grace. And it's this Jesus who takes our hand when we fall down and restores us back to him. Are we protecting our oneness? That means if you hear a brother being accused, maybe from this church, before you start spreading words, do you take time to go and ask, is this true? Is what I'm hearing, is it true? And how can I help you? How can we help you as a congregation? How can we help you as believers? Because God is interested in us. And if God himself is praying for us, if Jesus himself is praying for us, it means we need to pray for others. Not only family members, but be concerned with those who are not walking with God. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, we see when Satan even tempted Jesus, he quoted the word of God. And he said, it is written. It is written. And that's one of the things that will help us to keep walking together, to have that oneness. I want to conclude. Are you concerned about our world? Sometimes we are concerned about Goma, but are we concerned beyond Goma? I mentioned Bunia and other places. Are you concerned in places like Somalia? Do you know there are Christians there? Not many. Are you concerned what is happening in Syria? There are a lot of Christians who are suffering, who are dying because they believe in Jesus. Are you concerned about our neighboring countries, like the churches in Rwanda who are going through a difficult time? Do you pray for them that the government will allow them to preach the word of God? Yes, they need to follow the building laws, because the Bible also wants us to follow the laws of the government. But at the same time, can they do something that will build the church of God? Are we concerned about Goma? There are kidnappings, there are killings, all kinds of things that happen. Are you concerned? Do you pray? When you see something on the news, do you make it an item that you can pray for, so that God can reform us to be concerned about his world? Are you concerned about your neighbor, whoever is sitting to you beside you today, in front or at the back? Sometimes you may not know what's going on, but you can sit in the pew and say, God, I don't know what my brother or sister is going through, but I just want to pray for him or pray for her. Because that's the oneness about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have information. How do you use that information? Is it a gossip? Do you go and talk about it? Or do you take it as an item of prayer? Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you this morning. We thank you, Jesus, that you pray for us every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year. We thank you for your prayers. But Jesus, we also pray that you will help us to be concerned about our brothers and sisters. Even this week as we go out, Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, help us to be sensitive to the needs of your people. More important, Jesus, we pray that you protect us. Protect our families, protect our marriages, protect our church, and protect this nation and the nations that are represented here this morning. Father, we also pray that you will protect our pastors. We thank you for each one of them. not only for only our congregation, Sebeka pastors, wherever they are today, and those that represent us even in other countries. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you.